Welcome everyone to iloverealestate.tv. I have a very, very special guest for you today, and we're going to be having a bit of a chat about getting started. Now, this is a lady who has been with me for, 3 to 4 years, something like that, and it has gone from having no equity in properties to an equity position of over $2 million today. And that's a really great turnaround in, you know, in that space of time. So let's hear from her. Her name is Juliet Green. Are you there, Juliet?
Hi, thanks for chatting with me.
Oh,
yeah, I think I've heard podcasts before where it's been introduced like that and just thought, how could that possibly be? And feeling really intimidated. But as you said, we've only relatively recently started with you, started from a position literally of zero with no equity and no cash to get started and some very big debts, and ended up where we are. So I just want to encourage people that are suddenly feeling intimidated and thinking, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You just have to keep persevering.
Well, let's go back to when you did first start with me. What was your situation then?
So we had bought a townhouse in Sydney, and that was our sort of first home buyer's townhouse, if you will. There wasn't really any equity in it because we bought at the real height of a bubble where lots of first home buyers were buying. So we spent $500,000 purchasing it, used up everything we had to purchase it, and literally had no additional equity. So we asked the bank for further redraw, and they said, no, it's still worth $500,000. Mm-hmm. So we started from a position where we felt like our wheels were spinning and we couldn't move forward. And we met with an accountant who was familiar with your courses. He sort of looked at our situation and said, it's not going to be easy. I have to tell you that from the start. But we did have something to start from because we had the townhouse. And I remembered hearing at our first little introductory session with you about one of your students that had used the Strata Sinking Fund to create some equity in their townhouse or their unit. And I thought, well, we could try that. So we became the secretary and the treasurer of our Strata and use the sinking fund to paint and do landscaping and a whole bunch of different things. And just as and when we could, we kind of ate beans and showered in the backyard and put any spare cash we could into renovating. So all up, our renovations cost us less than $70,000 over the course of time. And amazingly, that townhouse that we bought for $500,000 in 2009, and just little bit by little bit when we could, we sold this Saturday. And it went for $1.11 million.
Wow.
We just couldn't believe it. It just kept bidding up and up and up.
So you've just sold that place?
Yeah, 3 days ago we sold that.
That's
and
exciting.
Incredibly, it was a lesson in emotional buying because the guys that bought it, we spent the little bit extra. We spent about $3,000 on having it styled by a professional stylist just to enhance our renovations and the work that we had done. And I think it probably got us potentially an extra $100,000. So for us, that was a real lesson in presentation is everything. And the buyers walked in and said, we haven't even read the contract, but we just fell in love with your style and we love the renovation, so we had to have it. We walked in and said, we'll just keep bidding, whatever it takes.
Well, isn't that
fabulous? That's how we don't want your students purchasing property.
No, not at all. So
but I'm glad our buyers felt like that.
So that was your first property. What happened along the way? Obviously, you were able to get a little bit of equity once you'd done a little bit to the property and things like that. What was your next move after that?
Well, the first step for us was that first bit of work we did on the townhouse freed up $100,000 in equity. Mm-hmm. And then we said, right, we've got this $100,000. I was actually had a small child and was pregnant. We had 3 kids in 3 years, so it's been a very busy 3 years.
Whoa.
And we knew that we had this $100,000. I was on maternity leave. This was the last shot of funding we could get from the bank, and we had to make it all work in one deal. So we had our process that we'd been through with you at our boot camp, and we had some really clear goals. We knew we wanted to buy in a really good growth area, but growth wasn't going to be enough. We really had to, what you call manufacturing growth, doing something to it to make us some money. So we found this beautiful block block in Newcastle. It was actually a pretty ugly block. The house itself was fairly hideous, built in the 1920s. And at the time, it had a really daggy inflatable pool in the backyard and a few broken down cars. But we saw this great big block left just 4 kilometres from Newcastle CBD and thought, this is a really good opportunity. So what it gave us was the chance to do a development application, so apply for building something new on it. Mm-hmm. We applied to build 2 new townhouses in the backyard. So we kept the front house, crunched the numbers, and decided it was best to keep that existing 1920s house on the front. We actually renovated it a little bit so we could use it as, rather than being a 3-bedroom house, we used the enclosed veranda and so on to make it 5 bedrooms and rented it out to a group of students. So that house itself, once it was some very superficial cosmetic renovation, pretty much covered its own bills for the time of during the build. Then at the back of the lot, we were able to build 2 2-bedroom townhouses, and then we subdivided that into 3 strata lots. And that's how we got 3 houses out of 1.
Hey, now let's just go back a little bit, because a lot of people listening to you are going, oh my God, I didn't even understand what she said, because
sure.
you've been with me 3-4 years now, and obviously a lot of things, if you take yourself back 3-4 years before you'd done any education, before you'd, you know, learned about what you can do and how to get started and things like that, would you have understood yourself 3-4 years ago?
No, you learn a lot along the way. A lot of podcasts between the beginning and today, I guess. I guess where we started from was we could just buy a negative geared investment property.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't do enough for us. You can't, we weren't willing to just sit back and wait for it to grow. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do things to it, to be active participants in the property, yep, to make it make us money. So I guess when we went to boot camp and sitting there feeling completely overwhelmed some of the boot camp, we walked away with a plan, and our plan was not just to buy something and sit on it and wait for it to grow, but instead to really be strategic about how we approached this, knowing we only had that $100,000. So we had a very clear checklist of things that we were after, something that we could create more income streams from, so something that we could not just have one lot of money coming in every week and still have to pay the difference ourselves for the loan, but something that could give us multiple streams of income.
Yep.
So for us, meaning that we could use the front house to rent it out to 5 different students made a big difference, the amount of rent that we could receive.
Yeah.
And then instead of just having a backyard sitting there that we needed to pay to have a lawnmower through it, we thought, let's turn that into 2 new houses.
That's
how we got so many income streams out of it and made the house work for us, worth a lot more so far as a new bank valuation, and also paying for itself and giving us an income of about $15,000 a year passive income. That is just money that comes in every year, whether I show up at work or not.
Well, see, that's the thing. You've now got, what, 3 little kids? Is that right? You've got 3 children now?
That's right. We do. We have a 0-year-old, a just-turned 2-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So this is my passion of what I do from home.
So this is a big thing for people as well, because for those, you know, stay-at-home mums who say, oh, I haven't got time, I can't do this, I can't do that, you know, you are an amazing inspiration that you can. You absolutely can. I mean, you can run a very successful property business as well as bring up 3 children.
Yeah, I have to admit there's been a fair few phone calls to arborists and surveyors and so on while I'm rocking the cot and trying to get the baby to sleep. But I think probably the time that it's taken me per week has been, it's enough that I can fit it in while the kids are having their daytime sleep.
Yeah.
So for mums at home that are thinking this is impossible, maybe for someone who isn't working or for someone who has all their nights to themselves, but I'm sitting up rocking a baby, well, in fact, you can. I think it's you need to be smart with your time, but it's very undemanding so far as hours if you choose the right strategy. So for me, I've very much been able to be hands-on and at home with 3 kids in 3 years, but still doing this, and I've significantly out-earned what I earned at work. So our goal when I started this was to earn $100,000 a year,
mm-hmm,
so that I wouldn't have to go back to work and I could have an extra year of maternity leave. That was our initial goal, to earn $100,000. And having had 3 kids in 3 years, I actually ended up needing to earn $300,000 so that I could stay home for 3 full years of maternity leave.
Yeah.
And fortunately, when you look at our total costs for this particular project in Mayfield East, the profits, so the equity increase, the amount that we now own or cash is $325,000 a year. So I covered my maternity leave 3 times over. And for mums that are looking for something to do from home that keep you feeling sane when you're changing a lot of bottoms and looking after babies and still have some adult conversation, doing property work for me has been really fulfilling.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I found when my kids were little. It's something that you, if you get organized, you can fit it in around anything. And you know, you learn to really prioritize your time. When you're on being a mum, you're 100% being a mum and you forget about the property. And then when you're on doing property, you really concentrate on that. You can get a lot done in a short space of time.
Absolutely. And there's no better motivation than knowing if I keep on earning money like this, I don't have to go back to work. I can choose to be home with my kids. That sure beats an office job. Yeah. I guess we were working very hard for a very long time and did a lot of study between myself and my husband and just found we were on a hamster wheel. We were going to be paying off our mortgage to the end of our days and passing on mortgage to our kids, whereas getting involved in this, putting the bit of spare time that I can create while I have little kids at home, has put a massive chunk out of our mortgage, and we will get off that hamster wheel and retire a lot earlier, enjoy our kids and enjoy our lives together. So it gives us the lifestyle that we want to have.
Absolutely. See, when, if you go back to your boot camp stage when you were first starting off, I mean, your head would have been in a very different position, because prior to even thinking about what am I buying, I mean, you bought a house to live in rather than you bought a deal that you're going to make money out of. Whereas now, I guess you're looking more at even the place you live in is a deal. You know, how can I make money out of where I live? And it's that.
That's fine.
And it's this whole mindset change that really, a lot of people just don't get until they get that education behind them. They get stuck in the, I'm paying too much tax, I have to buy negatively geared investment properties.
Absolutely. And I think we really felt that when we were having 3 kids in a tiny townhouse, and as I said, we've just sold it. We felt challenged by that, because the great Aussie dream is to buy a family home. But that won't do enough for us, and it won't give us the lifestyle that we want. For us to just go out and buy our family home would mean that I never get to see my kids. I have to be at the office working an hour away from home, 2 hours of travel a day, long days at daycare. So to have that lifestyle and the family home for us meant we had to be smart about how we went about buying the next family home. And I remember you challenging us to say, it's not just a trophy home, you need to be smart. So you were understanding that we needed to have a place to live. Some people were willing to just rent and rent their own home so they can free up their cash for investment. But when we went to buy our family home, we had you on our mind. So we looked at a few things you'd taught us about picking a suburb that will grow, and that wasn't going to be enough, just growing. But we did a really, what you call a grid variance analysis, scary words, but quite a simple process of looking at the evidence to see what's going to grow next. So we bought in a suburb that was on the periphery or just on the boundary of somewhere that had already boomed, and we predicted that it would grow. But more than that, we looked at your other strategies of making sure that we looked at off-market deals. Mm-hmm. So we letterbox dropped when we needed to, whatever it took to try and find something off-market. And every week I would ring every agent that I'd met and say, what do you have that's not on the market? Because it's a really hot and competitive market. And eventually someone had something for me. So it took a while, but we found something that was off-market. And we thought about what you'd said, win-win situations. And we met this guy who was selling off the market because he had a lot of junk. I'm talking like knee-deep in junk, from old passports and gramophones right through to piles and piles of paper. And we got talking with him and sat down and had a cup of tea from a very, very dirty cup and said, what is it about this house? Why haven't you wanted to put it on the market? You obviously want to sell it, but you're not ready to list it. And he said, I just want someone to feed my cockatoos. And this guy had 300 cockatoos, wild cockatoos, out the back of his house, and he'd been feeding them every day, and that's all he wanted, to make sure someone was going to look after his cockatoos. So we offered him well above what he'd asked for this broken down old house, knocked it down. We're currently halfway through building on it, And the process, we bought it for $975,000. Mm-hmm. The project is costing us just over $500,000. And when you add in interest and stamp duty and all the rest, at the end of building it, it'll be worth $2.4 million. So buying our family home and getting the Aussie dream, but doing it in a really clever way, buying off market, choosing a suburb that was about to boom, and being smart in how we manufactured growth or created value by building on it, has earned us just under $800,000 in 18 months.
That's pretty
so
good.
For us, a big part of our training with you was actually, what can we do well to meet our goals as a family, like having a family home, but do it smarter. Don't just go out there and buy anything. Use the strategies that we're learning for an investment, but use them on our own family home to pick up 800,000 equity in 18 months is a pretty awesome outcome on that too.
Absolutely. So tell me what's happened with the cockatoos. Are you still feeding the cockatoos?
Sorry, I missed that. Do you mind repeating?
Are you still feeding the cockatoos?
We are, yes, we're looking after his cockatoos. In fact, he was so happy to have sold the house to us that he spent 6 weeks during settlement building us a fence. So we have a beautiful fence and a huge hoard of cockatoos, although I think their numbers have declined a little bit since we cut down a couple of trees for our build. But we do the right thing and feed his cockatoos. They love us.
Juliet, there must have been times along the way that you thought, oh, my God, this is too hard. How are we ever going to do this? How did you get through those times?
Absolutely. I mean, in our Newcastle deal in particular, we hit a lot of obstacles along the way. And one of the amazing things about being part of the I Love Real Estate community is seeing that it's not just us that hit problems along the way. So right from the outset, we were told, you have no equity. It's going to be really hard to get you started. And I think just not taking no for an answer, being determined and thinking there must be a solution. And we got to one point where I'd sit down at night and tell my husband all these obstacles we were hitting, and he'd say, what would Dimpna say to that? And so we'd sit there and brainstorm the solution and sort of visualize you talking us through it. Along the way, when we tried to find our first deal in Newcastle, we were gazumped 3 times along the way. And it really hits you hard. One of the times I was sitting there with in the front yard with my architect and this great big baby belly wanting to come up with a plan for what we were going to do on the site. And we got the call 5 minutes before we were due to settle to say they'd taken a higher offer. I guess one of the things we found really important in choosing the deal was preparing for the fact that there's going to be bumps along the road and building in backup plans along the way. So when we bought our project in Newcastle, we had in our mind that ideally we'd like to build 2 townhouses in the backyard. But if that became a bit ambitious, we knew that we could always fall back to building 1 house in the backyard if we couldn't get the 2. We also knew that we could, rather than Torrens title it, that's one sort of title, we could strata title it. So we could sell off the front before we built the back, so that we could fund it that way if we ran out of money. But failing all that, even if we could only sit on that land for as long as it took to get it through council and use the front house as it was, we knew we could rent it out to students and earn a reasonable income that way. So targeting deals that have lots of different strategies involved in them and lots of different backup plans can kind of give you that security when it all feels like we're going to hit obstacles along the way. We certainly hit our fair share of obstacles too. We had 11 objections when we went to go through council. So along the way, we sort of learnt you need to make friends of your neighbours and tell people what you're doing along the way. I wish we'd gone and door knocked door to door, taken bottles of wine, whatever it took to get that DA through the first time rather than having to go through appeals.
Yeah, but you got through.
We got through.
You, when you were talking then, I kept thinking, my God, she sounds like me.
Maybe that's too much time listening to your podcast. I'm sure it happens to all of us. I got to a point where I listened to so many of your recordings in the car that the babies in the back seat would settle to the sounds of Dimpna in the front.
I haven't exactly got the most soothing voice. dear, maybe I should put out the recordings with baby sleep messages behind them or something.
Some nice white noise in the background. That's what we need. Sound of cockatoos.
Oh, is that what it is? Maybe you should do that with your newfound friends of the cockatoos.
So put them to work.
Where to now, Juliet? I mean, three babies, 3 years, $2 million in equity. Where's the horizon now?
Well, I guess at this point, I don't want to go back to my office job. That might sound a bit crazy, but I'm enjoying the Play-Doh and the fun times here, and I'm enjoying just, you know, 1 or 2 hours a day of work, and that's enough for me, and I'm out earning what I was earning at the office anyway. In fact, there have been occasions where I've out-earned my husband in a financial year, which feels pretty good when I'm at home with the kids, and he's really pleased that I'm able to feel like I've got that identity and contributing through our property work. So for me, I don't want to go back to the office, and for us it's now about a stage of getting sustainable and what will it take for it to be sustainable for us, particularly if I'm not working. So the next step for us is joint ventures, mm-hmm. and we've got a great joint venture partner, and we've just started a project with her also in the Hunter, and it's a little what we call a resi-mercial. So it's a shop down the bottom, and we're building 4 flats above it. We're going to knock down the existing little duplex that's on it and turn it into a shop and 4 little two-bedroom units above. And so a project like that will give me some cash payment at the end of it, a share of that profit, which will enable me to stay home and do the next deal. We're shopping for one more project with my joint venture partner at the moment, and we're also going to be looking, particularly after a great auction result this weekend, looking for the next deal for us. So I'm aiming to juggle at most 3 projects at a time and just keep doing what we're doing and bit by bit continuing to build up our equity and build up our cash flow. So the next project for us, I'm looking for something commercial that'll give us more cash flow than equity, so more day-to-day income without me having to go to an office, that'll set me up to stay at home and continue working in property investment, hopefully the rest of my life.
Very good. So tell me, before doing any of my training and education, did you have any experience in property or your husband?
Absolutely not. No. No, I was working in Indigenous Affairs and in community development. So halfway between sitting in the dirt out in remote communities and talking to Indigenous people about what their goals were, and the rest of the time in the office and working with a team. So no property background at all. Although I did remember when I was 13 years old, Mum gave me the job of choosing our family home. So I did a bit of research back when I was 13 to try and help her choose a home. So maybe the combination of your teaching and my mum giving me that job when I was 13 added up to a lifelong passion for real estate.
Oh, very good. And your husband, what's his background? No property in there?
No, he's in the medical field. Mm-hmm. So he's not really had a background in that at all. So we literally came along because we were in a bit of a stuck place, and a friend of ours who actually works with people that are facing bankruptcy said, go and check out Dimna Boholt. I've been through all the different speakers and she's my pick of the field, which was lovely to get her recommendation and referral to you. And so we came along to a free boot camp, and that was literally the first time we'd really seriously thought about property, even though we had sort of had bought this townhouse, and started thinking, this is for us. And your blood just runs cold when you realize this is what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And starting with a goal, persevering when you come against obstacles with that goal, and knowing that if you really persist, it's quite amazing, the snowball effect. It took us 3 years to get that build finished in Newcastle.
Yep.
And it really felt like we were pushing uphill a lot of the time and hitting a lot of obstacles. But it is amazing how quickly it snowballs once you push through and persevere to make that first project work, and how quickly it does snowball for us when we look at it now and scratch our heads and think, how in 4 years did we get to this point of $2 million equity? It would have taken us 3 lifetimes back to back to earn that if we were just working. So we're so thankful for what we've learned and the way that you've pushed us along that pathway so speedily.
You know, you're a great inspiration to a lot of mums and wannabe stay-at-home mums who want to, you know, have a great income stream that they can manage at home, you know, while bringing up kids. You know, your comment there about the fact that you know, in a few of the years you've earned more than your husband, you know, that's something that property can, you can earn whatever, sky's the limit. And that's, and when you think about, you know, your statement there and how much actual time you put in on a weekly basis to make that happen, then it's incredible, you know, to a couple of hours a day to earn significant amounts of money is pretty jolly good.
Absolutely. And I think about the 13 plus years of study that my husband did, and the return that he gets on his investment, and the weekend that we spent with you for that first boot camp, 3 days, and the return that that's given us.
Yeah.
And I look back at, you know, putting the money down on the course and thinking, oh, I'm very nervous about spending this amount of money. And it's amazing just how quickly it pays for itself if you just persevere and push through the obstacles that you face. It's really setting us up for a lifetime, which we're extremely thankful for.
So if you had some words of wisdom to give to a young mum who's perhaps sitting at home nursing a baby listening to this, what would you say?
I would say just start and just keep going. You will find that there's a lot of fear when you're first starting out. You know, you might have felt you've lost your confidence, particularly in that baby fog after you've had a baby, and you feel like you've had very little sleep, and you've lost a bit of that confidence that you might have had when you were working. Your family might be saying, oh, you're crazy to be doing this. You've already got enough on your hands. Well, three little kids and we still managed to get it done. And looking at those kids are the very reason why it's worth persevering when it feels hard, why it's worth getting the right training, coming up with some really good strategies. Trust your strategies and just follow them through. Enjoy the journey along the way. So just start, just keep going, and make your kids your motivation, not your excuse.
Oh, what wise words there. Well, thank you so much, Juliet, for coming on and sharing. And I know that's going to be a huge, huge inspiration to say to a lot of mums out there who are listening, going, wow, you know, maybe I can make this happen as well. You know, get yourself on board, get yourself educated, get out there and make it happen. So thank you so much, Juliet, for coming on and sharing. And, you know, inspiration to everybody out there, not just obviously mums, but to everybody out there to get out there and give it a go. So thank you very much.
And thank you. Thanks for being the start of the inspiration, Dimna.
You're very welcome.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Okay, guys, well, that's it for me for this time. I'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon on the next podcast. See you then. Thanks again, and thanks, Juliet.
Thank you. Bye.